Well, thank you all for being with us here. Once more, we find ourselves in the parking lot in our cars. Kind of an odd thing to do. This is the sort of thing that we did. And I said, you know, it's fabulous that the weather has been just so cooperative this year. Many of you all know that I've been doing drive-through communion here in the parking lot. And I really think that we've been doing it for a little over a year. And I believe we've had exactly one Sunday the entire time that I've been doing drive-through communion in the parking lot when it has rained. And Hal Gibson was good enough to hold an umbrella over my head that day. But of all the weeks that we've done it, we had bad weather once. I said, you know, when it came Christmas and we did our worship service right here on this same ramp, it was as though God said, you know, Christmas is so much more beautiful when it snows. And so it snowed so much on Christmas Eve. Over here on the communion plate, when the service was done, I had half an inch of snow. And God then seems to have looked down at us and said, you know, Easter Sunday should be bright and blue skies and cloudless and warm. And there are literally birds singing over my head. We have been so incredibly and marvelously blessed. And we are thankful to be able to share that with you. And Easter is a great blessing. And part of the great blessing of Easter, I know in my family, probably also in your family, is that not only does it mean all of the marvelous Easter celebration, Easter dinner, Easter candy, it probably, though, for you and for me, also means the end of Lenten disciplines. All of those things that we gave up, all of those things that we have not done, all of those things that we have avoided doing because we gave them up for Lent. And I know in my household, part of the challenge is we do really try to support one another in that. And so when one person gives up a thing, more often than not, that means all the rest of us avoid it, at least in their presence, if not altogether and entirely. So since there's several of us, that means instead of taking up one Lenten discipline, we take up several. And it is actually, I find, a really marvelous time of the year. Not because we miss drinking soda or going to fast food restaurants or eating meat on Friday or eating in front of the television set. These are all things that we didn't do this year. It's not that those things are so awful that we gave them up and we're miserable and suffering and sad and lonely. And it's not that. It's that we're thankful that we have the opportunity that every time we think, boy, wouldn't it be convenient if I could just run through McDonald's here instead of having to go off and you know, get myself a real lunch, I remember, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because of the Lord. Why am I pausing? I'm pausing because I'm pausing to remember. And so our Lenten discipline just, it brings us back around to face the cross and to face the tomb and to face the resurrection over and over and over and over again in ways that we normally wouldn't on our daily, weekly life. And I love that about Lent. But I will admit, you know, nobody likes something that challenges the entirety of the way one lives life. And so, you know, there's always that little bit of a hedge at the beginning and the end of Lent. You know, we're always like, well, when does Lent really begin? Ash Wednesday, yes, okay, it's Ash Wednesday. When exactly does Lent begin on Ash Wednesday? And I think for a lot of us, and that's certainly within my own family, our rule is Lent begins as soon as you get your cross on your forehead. And so we kind of always hold off for the evening service to get the cross on our forehead. So if you're going to have, like, one more soda before Lent begins, you just get that 2 liter out before the Ash Wednesday service and make sure you've got as much soda as you want. You hit McDonald's twice that day. And those, you know, because it's not begun officially. When does it really begin? It begins when you get the ash on your forehead. And so you can just kind of hold off for the last second. You'd be like, I'm going to enjoy all these things that I'm not going to enjoy. And okay, got my ashes. Time to be done. But then the next question is when does Lent end? So if one stays up really late on the Saturday before Easter, let's say you stay up till 12:01 a.m., is it safe to have chocolate at this point because it's officially Sunday? Or do we have to wait for sunrise? Can you just dive on that Easter basket as soon as you get out of bed and like put as much chocolate in your face as you can, especially if you gave up chocolate and sweets for Lent, which some of my family did? Or do you have to wait until after church? When does the actual part that is Easter begin? And it's kind of technical, it's kind of pointless, because the point is during Lent, we take our focus back around to Jesus Christ on the cross, crucified, and then Jesus Christ in the tomb dead, and then Jesus Christ out of the tomb resurrected. That's the important part. But of course, as human beings, we want to know when things start and end, don't we? And one of the things that as Christians, it's so important for us to remember when we study Easter and we talk about what it is that we have come together to celebrate, and that is we're celebrating resurrection. And we're celebrating that Jesus Christ was resurrected on this day some 2,000 years ago. He emerged from the tomb alive again after being dead. We know when he died. He died on Friday. We know when he rose. He rose on Sunday. We know that with certainty. But that's not the question that's worthwhile asking in this point. The question that's worthwhile asking in this point is, when does resurrection become real for us? You see, if we're waiting for the gift of resurrection to be our lifeline when we die in this world, if we say that's the point at which resurrection takes us by the hand and leads us into new life, then I'm going to tell you right now, we have got the message wrong, and we have gotten the message sad. See, the gift of resurrection isn't that when the day comes for us to close our eyes finally, then God takes us from the grave and lifts us up to heaven. That part's true, but that's not where the hope is. See, the hope is that resurrection began for you and for me and for every single other person on the face of the planet 2,000 years ago when Jesus was raised from the grave. We're not waiting to receive new life for the day when we die. Jesus Christ is offering you and me and every other person on the face of the planet new life every single day. Resurrection doesn't happen for us Christians once when we find ourselves at the funeral home. Resurrection happens for us every single time we remember the Easter promise. Resurrection happens for us every single time we come to church and we speak the words of the brief order for confession and forgiveness, and we are reminded of the fact that on the cross, Jesus Christ forgave you, not of some of your sins, not of the big ones or the bad ones, not of the small ones or the easy ones, not the sins that you feel really bad about and are doing things to fix, not about the sins that you aren't quite sad enough about that you've decided to fix. Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for all of your sins. Every last one of us who believes in Jesus Christ, regardless of anything else, we are forgiven. And we are forgiven not just in order that we might have that burden lifted from our shoulders, although that's a nice burden to have lifted from our shoulders, isn't it? To know that whatever it is that we did, we're forgiven of. But Jesus Christ does that in order that we might not only have that burden lifted, but that we might receive new life in the kingdom of God. That we are now a part, a living part of God's heavenly kingdom. Yes, we still live in this earth. Yes, our bodies still are here. Yes, they still do things we don't want them to do. I did a lot of painting this last week. We painted three rooms in our house. I mentioned this during our Holy Week services. It's left me a little sore and creaky, I gotta say. And on Good Friday, I always carry the cross into the sanctuary. And the cross is kind of heavy. I'd say it's 100, 150 pounds. And I carry it in on my shoulder. And this Good Friday, I said to my family before I went in for church Friday, boy, I hope I'm up to carrying the cross this year. I said, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to carry it. But boy, I'm pretty achy and creaky. I came home that evening. And I was so happy that I'd carried that cross down that aisle, set it down. I was sitting there, and I was massaging my shoulders. Man, that hurts. That really hurts. My son Josh, who's still in the very peak of his young adolescent physical apex, says to me, "Boy, Dad, after 50, that check engine light really does start to blink, doesn't it?" Yeah, it really does. You know what? I am still yet living here on this earth, aren't I? And I'm still party to all the pains and the aches and the miseries and the sorrows. All of the things that happen to us here in this life are still a part of my life. But I know that I'm also a part of the kingdom of heaven. I know that I'm already a part of the kingdom of God. I know all of the things in this world that lay claim to our loyalties, all the things of this world that lay claim to our worries, all the things of this world that lay claim to our fears, they don't belong to me. Because I no longer belong to this world. I belong to the kingdom of heaven. Not because I'm perfect, not because I'm morally superior to the people around me, but because I am forgiven by Jesus Christ on the cross, and I have been lifted up to sit in that kingdom next to my God and Father. And yes, one day I will physically be lifted to that place where I will enter into that forever and ever. But you know what? I'm there now. You're there now. We're here in the kingdom of God right now, because that's what Jesus Christ did. We don't have to wait for that day that comes. There's no figuring out the math of when does our resurrection begin. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ every single day. And it doesn't happen once and we're done. It happens every day. A resurrection that we share in is an ongoing thing. So as we gather together on times like this, we gather together in the midst of the cross of Jesus Christ, in the midst of the tomb of Jesus Christ, in the midst of the empty, rolled away, stone-bearing tomb, we are reminded that Jesus Christ was resurrected in order that we might now know that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, first, foremost, and last. The rules of heaven apply to us. What I mean by that is life, life abundant, life fulfilled, life with God the Father, life with the Holy Spirit, life with Jesus Christ, life with one another. The rules of heaven are life. We are called to live new life. Amen.